I'm going to read in the Gospel of John tonight. We were there last night, and we're going to go back to John, this time chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I'd like to read the very well-known verse, verse number 60. I'm going to actually read a number of verses throughout the Gospel of John, and two in the book of Revelation, and really reading them for not just the truth of the verse, but for a word that appears in every single one of these verses. We have sung of this word, and we're going to read about this tremendous reality. And so John 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Life. 16 gold or 25 golden words in John 3:16. Now just across the page in John chapter 4. I'll just break in at the story, verse number 13. The Lord is speaking to a woman at Sychar's well there in Samaria. He's asked her for some water, and he's offered her living water. And in verse number 13, he makes a very interesting statement. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Again, verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Now, chapter 8, same gospel, John chapter 8. And for the context, we'll read verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin." Notice those last few words. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. Now, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, this time chapter 22, the last book, the last chapter, not quite the last verse. Verse number 17. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Just back a page to chapter 20. And this time the last verse of the chapter, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, one of the most solemn verses in the Bible in my mind, says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Whosoever not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John's Gospel is a very, very wonderful book in the Bible. John, of course, was a fisherman, but he was one of the ones that the Lord called to follow him. He came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. He listened to his words. And very likely as an old man, one day he sat down and he began to write this Gospel that we have read of. John's Gospel is a very unique Gospel because it is focusing for us the great person of the very Son of God. John doesn't refer to his birth at all. He's not like Luke, not like Matthew. No mention of the birth. In fact, John goes far back beyond the birth. And John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So John's focus is unique. He goes from an eternity past to an eternity yet to come. And so he's writing about the Son of God. But what is so interesting about John's gospel is that he uses very simple words. You don't have to go to the university here in Kamloops to understand John's gospel. In fact, someone told me one time that John is writing at about a grade 6 level. So if there's any grade 6ers here, you could easily understand John's gospel from the words. But John's scope is amazing, because this is a gospel for the entire world. You could read in John chapter 1, and I'm just mentioning just a couple of verses here, but in John chapter 1, verse 29, John writes these words. He said, the next day, John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming to him, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And from the very start, chapter 1, he includes the whole world, the world of people. He takes away the sin of the world. And we have read in John chapter 3, verse 16, those wonderful words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And over you could read, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, John 3:17. And if that's not enough, go to 1 John and you'll read these words, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. My, that's a huge scope, isn't it? And what thrills me tonight is that it's not just in Kamloops that we can preach this message. Mr. Ramsey is able to preach it where he comes from in Prince Edward Island. It's the very same message. I can preach it in Ontario, in Kitchener, Ontario. And we can go to every part of this world and preach exactly like we're preaching here tonight, maybe in a different language, but the same message. This is a message for the world. But you know, from this vast scope, John and the Spirit of God brings it right down to the individual. And that's what my little focus is tonight. Because we have read that the grand word, whosoever. Now you say, we don't use whosoever in 2011. No, you're right. But the word simply means that everyone, no exceptions. And so John makes it very clear that this gospel message and the truths of the gospel and the realities that we preach night after night, they are for everyone. Every single individual without exception. You know, that's exactly what the word means, whosoever or whoever or everyone. We're living in a world of restrictions many times, aren't we? We had a lovely supper tonight, but it was in a place in Kamloops that was for adults only. I didn't see any children there. Maybe for retirees. It's young families wouldn't be able to move there. It's restricted. And I have gone into McDonald's, and there's a playground, and I've read the sign, for children 7 years and younger, so I can't go in. And I go into an airport, and it's for members only. Can't go in. There are some places I can enter, no restrictions, other places that I can't go in. But when it says whosoever, there's no restrictions. And tonight, this is a message for every individual. No restrictions. But there's something else about this. There's no exceptions. I remember I was having meetings with another brother, another preacher, and he was telling us about the Rolls-Royce car. Now, I haven't seen any Rolls-Royce cars in Kamloops as yet. Maybe there are some. I don't know. But anyway, the Rolls-Royce car is one of the finer cars in the market. I did some research one time, and it goes anywhere from $400,000 up to $1 million for a car, if you want the best. And of course, when you read the ads, they'll tell you all about the car and all about its luxury items and its power and its whatever. And the man I was preaching with, he said, you know, when I read the ad, in fine print, it had these words: this car is intended for individuals with assets of $5 million or more. So they would suggest that you better have some money if you're going to drive this car. There are some exceptions. It's offered to everybody, but now really, not everybody is able to buy one. And you know, there's an awful lot of people, and they think that that salvation is like that. Oh yes, God is offering it to everybody, but you've really got to be somebody. You've got to be somebody good to get this salvation. You've got to measure up. You've got to have some assets. You've got to have some credibility. But that's not the fine print of the Bible. That's not what God is saying. When God says, whosoever, every single individual is in view. But I just want to add one more thing about this before we talk about these verses very quickly. When God says everyone or whosoever, there will be no excuses. Now, I'm only going to suggest this. This is not true. But suppose that we're going to have a cup of tea and some cake in the basement after this meeting. Now, I didn't see any down there, so it's not going to happen. But suppose it would. And I was given a piece of paper and they said, now, Marv, read this out. And I would read, everyone is welcome to stay for cake and coffee after the meeting in the basement. Would you be able to come up and say, Marv, why didn't you invite me? Why was I left out? No, you couldn't do that. Because that statement, everyone or whosoever wants to, can stay for cake and coffee at the end of the meeting, takes us all in. So there's no excuses. No excuses. And that is really the power of this word. Whosoever, whoever, everyone. And that's a word that John uses over and over and over and over again. We've only read five of them. But very simply, I'd like to look at these five. Because we have read, first of all, in John chapter 8, about the whosoever of sin. The Lord Jesus was speaking to some religious people. And he said to them, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, well, that doesn't apply to us. We've never been in bondage to anybody. We have a wonderful background. We are religious. We are linked with Abraham. We were never in bondage to everybody. And the Lord looked at those individuals. And he says, whosoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And tonight we're able to tell this audience, starting with the speaker, that whoever commits sin is in bondage. Whosoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And tonight, that's where God wants every one of us to start, with the problem of our sin. I know we're living in a world in which sin is kind of downplayed, and people say, well, nobody's perfect, and so really don't worry about it. As long as you don't do something really bad, you'll have a good chance of getting to heaven. The Lord Jesus said, that is not the case. Whoever commits sin is in bondage. Whoever commits sin is a slave. Whoever commits sin is guilty. Whoever commits sin is going to reap the wages of sin. And every single sin is going to be judged by God. This is not a small problem. And every single gospel preacher that's faithful to the Word of God and to an audience must mention sin. It's not very popular, is it? Not every pulpit would mention sin. Not every preacher would tell about the wages of sin. My dear friend tonight, I don't know all of my audience here, but I know my heart, and I know what God says to me. And there came a moment in my life when I understood I'm a sinner, I've sinned, and I'm a slave to sin. I couldn't remove any of my sins. Oh, I could try to turn over a new leaf and say, now, from this time on, I'm going to live differently. Would that satisfy God? No, that wouldn't satisfy God any more than if you went to the store where you've run up a big bill. Maybe at Walmart you've been putting everything on credit. And they finally said, now, sir, you're going to have to pay. We're not going to give you any more credit. And you say, well, now, from today on, I will pay cash. Guaranteed. I'll pay cash tonight. And they would say, well, that's fine, but you still owe the debt on the bill that you've amassed. God requires what is past. God will never lift up the carpet and kind of shove it underneath and say, well, now we'll just forget about that. Everything's fine. No, no, not at all. Whoever commits sin is slave of sin. And it's only when a person understands and faces their sin and the bondage that sin brings. Oh, when I think of the weight of sin, when I think of the weight of regrets, when I think of the weight of guilt that people carry through life, perhaps I'm speaking to individuals here, and there are things in your past life that only you know about, and you long to have it forgiven. You've been carrying a heavy load. That's what sin does. That's what guilt brings. And yet the Lord Jesus came that our burden might be lifted, that our sins might be forgiven. But he said, whoever commits sin, that takes us all in, is the slave of sin. I wonder, have you ever been set free? Have your sins ever been forgiven? Has there ever been a moment of release? Because that's what forgiveness is all about. The whosoever of our sin. But there's another one we read about in John chapter 4. The whosoever of the world. And tonight we're living in a world that has all kinds of things to offer. There are people and they keep trying this and trying that and going here and buying that. And they think, this is what life is all about. This will really make me happy. This will light up the dashboard of my life. This will do it. Might be a relationship. Might be something that you buy. Might be a place you go to. The Lord Jesus looked at a weary woman. And she had tried a lot of things. She had gone through 5 husbands. And I don't think maybe that they all died on her either. She was living common law with another one. And it could well have been that this dear soul was going from relationship to relationship, hoping, wondering if one of them would stick, if one of them would satisfy, if one of them would bring satisfaction, if there'd be just something that would bring life together. You know, that day she was about to meet the 7th man that would really meet her need. But perhaps you're in a meeting tonight, and the words of the Lord Jesus apply to you. Whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. There is absolutely nothing in this world, nothing apart from Christ and his salvation, that will satisfy the human soul. I don't know if John Procopio has been here, but he was out visiting one time. Good friend of ours, both Peter and myself. And he was out visiting in the United States, doing gospel work, going door to door. And he came to a series of townhouses, and there was a young woman, if I remember correctly, likely in her early 20s, and she was sitting on the front steps of the porch of her house. And John is very friendly, and he went up to her, and he just looked at her, and he says, looks like you're having a bad day. You know what she said? She says, no, sir, I'm having a bad life, a bad life. Whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. And yet people are convinced that all the bubbles of life will satisfy them. And the party on the weekend, well, boy, that'll be a great time. And this relationship that just seems to be coming into view, my, it's wonderful. And that new job and that new house and that vacation and all the perks and all the bells and whistles and the toys of this life, people are convinced that that's what it's all about. And there are men in their pit, and they're chasing a puck tonight to win the Stanley Cup because that's what life is all about. That's what life is all about. They have to do it again next year. Whosoever drinketh of this water is going to thirst again. And maybe you say, well, that's my life. I've been trying to find something to satisfy. Well, I've got good news for you tonight. This is the greatest news. because we have read about the whosoever of salvation. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you were to ask me, why did God love the world? I really couldn't tell you. Apart from the fact, that's the very heart of God. God didn't get much from this world of people. Oh, he made us for himself. He made us to know him and to enjoy him and to serve him and to be with him forever. But it wasn't very long before man turned away from his creator, turned away from the one who had brought infinite blessing, a tremendous blessing in his life, turned away from all that was right and good and true, followed a lie. And ever since then, this world has been bankrupt as far as God is concerned, without profit. And yet this great truth stands, God so loved the world. And I can tell you on the basis of that verse, God loves you. Oh, you say, you don't know me. No, I don't, but God does. And this verse has never changed and never will change. God so loved the world that he proved it by giving his Son. He gave his only begotten Son. And in that tremendous movement of grace, in that great provision of love, God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And when he sent his Son, he sent him to die on a cross. And the Lord Jesus willingly shed his blood and poured out his soul into death and suffered for our sins, that the rest of the verse might be true. John 3:16 goes on to say, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder, have you ever come through the truth of John 3:16? God's love, his great work at the cross, the wide open invitation that everyone that believes in Christ, everyone that receives his Son, will never perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I don't have a very common name. But I remember that I heard one day that there was another Marvin Dirksen, lived on the prairies, same spelling. And I'm so glad that God didn't say that if Marvin Dirksen would receive his Son, he'll never perish, because I wouldn't know if it was the other fellow or me. No, God uses a word that everybody, takes everybody in, that whosoever, that everyone. You're included tonight. How do I know? Because in the last chapter of this book, Revelation chapter 20, John picks up his pen again. He's an old man now. And he writes, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The whosoever of invitation. Not just salvation, but tonight, friend, invitation. Invitation. Whosoever will. Whoever wants it, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, God means what he says. And tonight, if you have come to this Tuesday night meeting and you realize, I need to be saved. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need a Savior. Then God is speaking to you. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what the problem is? We don't think we qualify. Or we don't think that God means what he says. But for an individual that will just take God at face value, they'll understand God is speaking to me and inviting me. We have read one of the most solemn verses in the Bible. Whosoever, everyone that was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Could I ask you one question? Is your name in the book of life? Oh, you say, I hope so. That wasn't the question. Is your name in the book of life? Are you sure of it? Because the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But you say, sir, I attend gospel meetings. I've memorized verses. I carry a Bible. I respect God. My parents are saved. Or my family members are saved. Or I came to a Tuesday night meeting. My friend, that may all be true. But this verse stands. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, a moment will come when they will be cast into the lake of fire. What a tragic, tragic possibility. What a tragic, fearful reality when that moment comes. And men and women, regardless if they've grown up under the sound of the gospel and have been prayed for all their life, or whether they've lived a life of indifference and unbelief, regardless of where they're coming from, this verse applies to every single individual. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why this word is so big, but oh, it's so serious, isn't it? It takes us all in, starting from the speaker. I'm so glad that I took my place as one of the whosoever's, and I received Christ. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life.